Herein a small testimony to completely ill-advised projects, the advantages, disadvantages, heights, and depths. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. There's a whole variety of projects looking back on my life that if I had known, if I had had any inkling whatsoever, were going to be as involved and complicated and as much of an emotional roller coaster as they turned out to be, I wouldn't have set one foot in that direction. A project like the BBS documentary, I thought that would be 1 year of work and then a few months of editing and then on to the next things in my life. But it turned out to be 4 years of filming, 1 year of editing, and not moving on to the other things in my life. But besides the documentaries, which I can point to now as things that came out of all that work, I have dozens, probably hundreds of other projects that represented an enormous amount of work in which I have basically nothing to show for it. My propensity for this really worked out well during my temp jobs period because I would walk into somebody else's mess, a complete discombobulation of someone's office life, and work with them to get it back into order. Shoved into these worlds with absolutely no long-term concern, I could jump in there with full energy, put all of my efforts into cleaning up this mess, and then walk away, putting on sunglasses like I had left behind some sort of new order in the universe. Time has told me that all of those projects tend to fall back into the sea because the reasons why it was like it was when I came in are going to return. And it's taken me a long time to learn that lesson. More close to home in a personal way are the various computer rooms I've set up and my home offices, which for some reason I have always turned into some sort of burrow where every inch of the walls are covered with clippings and posters and writings that I put on top of each other while also filling the room absolutely to the ceiling with books and media and computer hardware and a whole other variety of things that I've captured. I've created that patchwork burrow of computers and technology over and over again. It seems to be what I am designed and want to do when I'm making a living space. These burrows contain all sorts of sub-projects that I will get myself into with no hope of ever getting to the other end. Part of it is the fallacy of believing that there's a way for a person to acquire an influx of files and creations and be able to, in some way, keep on top of it. Computers are not designed to trickle information to you. They are designed to give you as much technology can handle. When I had piles of text files, it was describing and cataloging them. When I had hundreds upon hundreds of Amiga floppy disks, it was trying to become some sort of librarian of them. And in the modern era, with thousands of files coming into the Internet Archive, I still believe in some way that I can stay on top of it. This current and overriding project for me is dealing with the influx of materials that come into the Internet Archive every single day from thousands of different people who have figured out that we're an excellent place to store your stuff. Being lucky enough to have administrative access to this collection, I'm able to see trends, build graphs, find out what sort of materials are coming in, and then begin to channel them into sub-collections. Even though I can tell myself that this project can never be completed as long as the open policy of the Internet Archive persists, I still mentally seem to skip past that, look forward, and act like I'm completing a task that has some sort of conclusion. Maybe it's some sort of mental thing that we do when we're faced with insurmountable odds or impossible-to-end projects. We just convince ourselves that what we see in front of us, what we logically know isn't going to happen, is going to happen. More than once in the last few years, I've had to confront somebody else's collection that was going through the same fallacy, where only their own death or the death of the concern or company that held the materials led to the project in any way being completed. It's pretty sobering to look at someone's boxes and then figure out that the only reason I have these boxes is because the person themselves are gone. I think it's very natural for people to think of materials that matter to them as being something that if they themselves are not the caretaker of, it will utterly disappear, be destroyed, never be valued the same way by others. In a few rare cases, a few of these individuals will get together and assemble and provide themselves with a grouped archive of what they've done. But I've also found that over time, people leaf away. So if you have a user group that has a library of floppy disks, over the years, over the decades, people kind of stop paying attention to that collection of floppy disks, and it eventually falls to a single person who has done nothing else but persist. Maybe they don't even really remember that over 1,000 floppy disks are in their basement. And so when it does come to a head, when they themselves are moving, or if their family finds this collection and it falls into my lap, what I'm getting is a moment in time, a moment when this collection lost its caretaker, lost its meaning to the people who were collecting it. I think it's logical for the people who have these collections to think about going to the next level, making a archive that is both retrievable and well cared for, and maybe in some way properly cataloged, and for not just the collectors, but for others. But I often find that people hit some sort of roadblock in the idea. Maybe they've convinced themselves that the piles of boxes, which are currently chaos and completely incapable of being referenced beyond one single pile of work, still maintains its fundamental purpose to you. There have most certainly been times in my own life when I've looked at material piles that I myself created and I've said, there's a problem. I can even nail down when it started to become a problem. And it was when I stopped looking at it as the impossible project of dealing with materials that I had, and when I started using it as a way station for other people's journeys. This gave me the joy of opening up the packages and seeing what had been sent to me, but I quickly ran out of places to put all these different way stations, because there was no way that my shipping container was going to be anybody's final destination. It needed to go somewhere. So I didn't know that these new roommates of mine were actually not part of the ultimate project of what I was going for. My own projects started to fall by the wayside in that shipping container, not to mention that it was quickly becoming a sort of attic of things that I liked in theory, things that had a retro or old technology feel, but which I was never going to have in my life again. When my friends came over and helped me move everything out of the shipping container, and when I was packaging it up by the hundreds of boxes and sending them to the Internet Archive, I discovered exactly how far things had gotten out of hand. I had 4,000 or 5,000 books in there. I had hundreds upon hundreds of floppy disks that I was never going to get to if I didn't have them laid out specifically for the project. And I ended up donating about 30 monitors of various type that were scattered throughout the shipping container. And when I got to the Internet Archive's storage facility and looked through these hundreds of boxes piled up along a wall, I realized I'd made the same mistake that I thought others were making. Besides that grandiose mistake, there have been a whole variety of other projects I've been involved in that are of a more virtual aspect, ones where I didn't have to worry about finding myself in piles of boxes never to be negotiated, but instead found myself with megabytes, gigabytes, and later terabytes of information that I hadn't sorted through or which I wasn't quite sure what the final home was going to be, the final forms it would take online for others. I care deeply about people wandering into piles that I've made, finding the thing they want and walking out, maybe having it arranged in a way that something else catches their eye, and then they themselves have a wonderful experience and leave with something a little better than when they came in. While it's a nice thought, it can lead to some truly debilitating projects for me. In 1999, and I will never have a way to prove this to you, I wrote a blogging system inspired by the Finger text file used by id Software to give updates on a regular basis about what they were doing. I created an ersatz blogging system called, and I'm ashamed to admit this, PimpSlap, PimpSlap. And I have completely forgotten what that acronym meant. But it was a way to write files into a command line that would then be reissued with a header, with the date, and then what you had written, and then did all of that work of collating and compiling and indexing all of your entries so that people could read them on an HTML site. I did not invent blogging. I did not create WordPress before WordPress. All I was doing was messing around with code because it was interesting. And what came of it was never going to have a long and fulfilling life. The code that maintains textfiles.com is similar. There's a program called Ferret, which does most of the work of generating all of the directories on textfiles.com. It keeps track of descriptions. It allows me to update them, move them around. Another script called Roundabout lets me see all the new undescribed text files and then lets me put small one-line descriptions in, and then it regenerates all of the static HTML that people think of when they go to the site. The BBS list is itself a whole variety of shell scripting that keeps track of the tens of thousands of BBSs and allows me to make easy additions. And as a sign of the kind of person creating it, at no point does any sort of legitimate database product make an appearance. So, as I look back on all of these different projects I've done and all of these ill-advised efforts I've made, one thing has become clear. The consistent theme among all of them is I just want to understand the world. I want to be able to look at content, at uploads, at text files, at pieces of media, and from it, in some way, derive meaning. That I love to ingest information, to watch it go by, and then share it, either remixed by myself or providing it in a way that others can take it, remix it, understand it as they want to, and then maybe down the line, the world gets to be a little more informed, a little better, a slight moving of the needle from darkness and misunderstanding to being informed, being aware, and deriving joy from all those things that the world and the people in it create. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Forrest Fuqua, James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Scott Roseanne, and Corey Thomas, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt.